Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yo, what's up? We're back. Alternative Facts Podcast here. I'm your host, Chris Payne. I'm a staff writer at Billboard. So we're normally a Thursdays podcast. I know. We're posting on Friday this week because, you know what? I just had to make this episode closer to Halloween. Our guest this week is a repeat guest on the show. It's Lynn Gunn, frontwoman of the band Paris. I'm a big fan of them, and she's a big fan of Halloween. And in this chat, we covered her favorite Halloween memories, old costumes she wore, some funny stories involving these costumes, some of her newer Halloween traditions, books, films, stuff like that that she's been into lately. And we also talked about their music. Just in case you're not familiar with this band Paris, who this whole episode is about, to get you into it, here's a little bit of an old jam. This one's called My House. I caught you walking, circling my walls. Guess it was all my fault. I think I let you in. Never thought that. That one's off their first album called White Noise. It came back in 2014. And they have a new album out. It's called All We Know of Heaven, All We Need of Hell. It came out a few weeks ago on Rise Records. And the rest of the music that you'll hear from now on in this episode all comes from that one. So get ready for this next half hour of me talking to Lynn about all sorts of things, besides Halloween, that is, playing these new songs live, covering Tegan and Sarah recently for a compilation they were on, stories about fans, touring life, dealing with stress, what the band has coming up. Should note, we recorded this one a couple weeks back when Paris was on tour in America with Lights. So there's one point in where I ask her what they're doing on Halloween, and at that point she can't say what it is, but that's since been announced. They're playing a BBC One show in London with Neck Deep, Enter Shikari, and a bunch of other bands. So all you UK fans, check that one out. But and one other thing. Lynn shouts out specific Twitter followers of hers. So if you follow Lynn on Twitter, maybe she talks about you in this episode. And also, listen to the very end after the interview with Lynn is done. I've got a couple announcements on the next few guests coming up on the podcast. And yeah, excited for this one. For now, that's all I got. Here's the interview. We're picking up right where Lynn starts to talk about the tour she's on. So here we go.
It's been great. We're like 2 to 3 weeks in, I think, at this point, I want to say. But it's been crazy. A lot of the venues we've been playing, we opened shows at. And like played shows there and nobody knew who we were. And now we're headlining them, and there's rooms full of people
who bought
the wrong ticket to the wrong show or something. Yeah, it's been pretty surreal. We've been like every morning, kind of like when we go in for sound check and the venue's empty, I'm looking out and I'm like, there's no way it's gonna fill up. And then we go on stage and it's a complete different vibe, and it's crazy. It's been awesome.
Yeah, at meet and greets and shows in the past, you guys have had all sorts of stuff, coming outs, engagements. Mm-hmm. Has anything like that happened so far in this tour?
Not yet. We haven't had any coming outs yet. I'm trying to think of anything crazy.
What about engagements?
Not this time.
I just, like, 2 weeks ago in Brooklyn, I saw an engagement happen on stage at a show.
What show was it?
It was The Early November and The Movie Life.
Okay, that's a good show to do that at. The Movie Life, they were in Dallas the same night we were. And you know Maddie, right? Maddie, one of our other managers, Maddie Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big Movie Life fan, and he like went to their set before we played our set there. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, Movie Life was just on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, look at that. Yeah.
First timers. But yeah, their album's really great. Shout out to those guys. So what else? I'm looking at set lists so far, and I don't want to spoil too much of anything.
You already spoiled it by looking.
Setlist FM out there. Out, man.
I didn't even know that was a thing. That's a thing?
Mm.
Wow.
But yeah, so I think it's really neat how No Mercy is becoming a common set closer on this tour.
Yeah.
Even though, like, because it wasn't one of the singles released ahead of the album, wasn't one of, like, the video tracks promoted a lot early on. So how did No Mercy come up as a show closer?
It was kind of like the hidden gem of the record, I think. Because I had kind of tweeted a couple times, like, what songs do you want to hear when we come back out? And everybody was like, No Mercy, No Mercy, No Mercy. That was just kind of like one that was across the board. And so we were like, we usually would end the set with My House. And so we were like, okay, what's like something else we can do that would come across just as much?
What's it like just having so many more songs to work with now?
It's awesome. Because, like, with White Noise, we literally just had 10, and you couldn't, like, swap out any or make any changes. So it's been cool. I think this record, the songs on it, are much – I think they come across live really well. And they're much easier to kind of, like, engage with the crowd. So it's been really fun to be playing them.
Yeah, I mean, you got to write those songs after so much cutting your teeth live and getting to see how songs go over. Because probably a lot of the songs that you wrote for the first album,
you had no idea.
Yeah, you hadn't played them to many people at all.
Yeah.
So you kind of had to figure it out on the fly. So yeah, what is it like taking the live show, rocking like 1,000 people and being like, all right, this is how I write songs for this?
I don't think there wasn't any like deliberate, okay, let's write a song for the live show. I think it just kind of translated pretty naturally.
So what about more traditionally seasonal things? I feel like Halloween is a big thing for you guys.
Yes.
What do you have planned this year?
I believe we're flying on Halloween, or where are we in Halloween? Do you know?
I looked at your tour schedule, and you have, like, looks like the whole week open. So I was wondering if there was anything in the works.
I think we're doing something we can't announce yet.
Oh, I don't even know what this is, actually. So.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I do know. I do know what we're doing.
The podcast will be live not this Thursday. So maybe it is something you can say.
No, I can't. Nope, I can't say. Okay, no, I do know what we're doing. But the past 2 years, I want to say – no. Not this past year, but the two before, both Halloweens were spent flying to, like, Europe, I think. So we were airplane passengers on Halloween.
Tell me you were at least, like, watching Friday the 13th on the plane or just binging through, like, one of those franchises.
I don't think so. I don't remember. I think I was in a heavy reading period, so I was probably reading something weird. Oh, yes. I was reading this book called The Black Sun. It's all about, like, alchemy and darkness and depression and how that all kind of interweaves together. So it was kind of Halloween. It was kind of
very Halloween.
Kind of festive. I don't know. It's very depressing.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, like, films, books. Like, do you have any go-to Halloween things you like to read, watch, view every year?
Oh, my gosh. The number one Halloween essential is Hocus Pocus.
Of course.
For sure. And one of my friends introduced me to this movie. I had no clue that it existed, Witches of Eastwick. You ever seen? Yes, you know. It's amazing.
Yemi,
yes.
Agreeing with the margaritas of a lot of this mm-hmm. episode.
Yes. Okay. So Witches of Eastwick is amazing. But I found out that it was filmed like 30 minutes from my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In like Lowell, Massachusetts?
It wasn't in Lowell, but it was it was filmed in two towns. I forget the name of one of them, but the other one where like it half of it takes place on like this big mansion, and it's in Ipswich, Mass, on this place called the Crane Estate. And it was actually funny because I watched the movie and I was watching and I was like, I feel like I've been here before. Like, this looks really familiar. And then I pulled up some pictures on my phone because I thought it was a place I had gone to a couple months before. And I like pulled up and did a little side by side, and it was the same place that I've been to like 2 months before. So it's pretty cool. So Hocus Pocus, though, is the number one Halloween essential, I think.
Gotcha. Yo, I'm going to expose myself as not knowing Massachusetts ways around.
That's totally cool.
But is Lowell close to Salem at all?
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes.
Okay.
We're actually going there on Friday the 13th, because we have the Boston show on the 12th, and then we have a day off. So I think we're like bringing our bus kind of close to my house, and then we're going to all go to Salem.
Damn, you're right. There's a October Friday the 13th this year. It's too perfect.
Super extra mega spooky.
I feel like when you were in school, every class trip must have been to like the Salem Museum or like the Salem grounds or something.
No, it was actually, we never went to Salem. I'm curious if it had anything to do
too
with
too haunted.
No, it's actually really not that haunted. Like I found out the other night that the most haunted place in Salem is a Walgreens, because that was where they built it on top of where all the women or all the witches were. Is it hung or hanged? There's a constant debate. And I want people to know that I'm aware of this debate, and I don't know.
I'm just going
to
put
way.
Both of them out there.
Yeah.
Executed.
They were executed on the grounds of Walgreens, and then Walgreens was built on top of it. And they refused to move it. So, yeah. I got the inside scoop a couple nights ago.
Shout out to the Walgreens in Salem, Massachusetts. That's the best place in the whole country to buy outdoor Halloween decorations.
Probably.
It's the best place to buy one of those like giant blow-up inflatable skeletons that like goes on your lawn and like the arms move side to side.
Did you say that for a specific reason? Do you know something about me?
Unless you're talking about like, I remember for another interview you told me when you would like grab the stuffed skeleton when you were a kid and sleep with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You told me that
I wasn't
before.
Sure if you were like bringing that up.
No. That was literally the first Halloween decoration that popped into my head.
Yeah. When I was little, I think it was a blow up one. It wasn't a stuffed one. I slept with a blow up doll when I was three.
Was it one of those giant? Because that's what I meant, like one of the giant ones, and they make it kind of like, you know, the inflatable arms man.
Oh, the big giant lawn ones. Oh, it was one of those. It was like a little like toddler size.
Okay.
One. Yeah, that'd be crazy if I had like one of those in my crib, this giant skeleton thing.
Do you have any other like Halloween memories from when you were a kid?
So many.
Yeah, like what are the best Halloween memories? Or costumes.
Okay, I'll go into costumes, then I'll go into like a good Halloween. But one of my best costumes, I think. There's top two. There's one. This was when I was too little to know what was going on. So this was all my parents. This credit goes to them. They made me a bag of jelly beans. And they basically just wrapped a big plastic bag around me and then filled it with a bunch of little tiny like water balloons with air instead of water. And they just marched me around like a bag of jelly beans.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then this was like one of my favorites, because my mom and I worked very hard on this. I was in second grade. This was right when like SpongeBob started getting big.
Okay.
Before he was like mainstream, you know.
Before the memes.
Yeah. And we got like two giant things of foam, painted it orange, and picked out all the little holes, and we painted his face. We cut out like a little slot right in his mouth, and I put my face there and marched around on Halloween. And pretty much everybody thought I was cheese. So, like, it was really upsetting. Like, we'd go to, like, old people's house, and they'd be like, oh, are you some cheese? And I was like, no, I'm SpongeBob. Thanks, guys. But last year, I had a really fun Halloween. We were in Utica, New York. It was when we were working on the record. And our friend Sierra, do you know Sierra Custerbeck at all? I don't know if you've ever done anything with her. She used to be in Verse of Merge.
Okay.
Was in a band with Blake, who produced the record.
Gotcha.
So she came up to visit for this Halloween. And there was like a town over from Utica called Clinton. And it was like a cute little small, like, total Halloween East Coast town. And so we went like just out walking around trick-or-treating. And we like stumbled on this one person's house, and they had like a fire out front, and they had like wine and everything. And there's just these two parents, but they just had it like decked out and ready. And Sierra just kind of went up to them and were like, yo, can we hang out with you guys? And they were like, yeah. And they like pulled up chairs for us, gave us wine. And we ended up just like making friends with these two parents for like a few hours. They like let us into their house and stuff. It was actually really creepy. I was like, we could do like really crazy shit if we wanted to, if we were like serial killers, but we're not. But I was like, they were very trusting and we were very trusting of them, but they were awesome.
Well, like letting strangers into your house is kind of the spirit of Halloween.
Kind of, that's true. The spirit.
It's a lot of trust involved in Halloween.
Yeah, and taking candy from strangers, for sure. But yeah, it was really cute. Their kids were in high school and their like son was like kind of going through some stuff and getting into trouble. And they were like, what were you like when you were in high school? And they were asking us like, well, what do you think we should do? And it was really cute.
Basically just give our son some advice.
Yeah, or they were like, give us advice. Or like, how can we understand our son? It was funny.
Cool. So what's give me the lowdown on what you guys have coming up after this U.S. tour is wrapped.
As soon as this U.S. tour is done, we head straight to Mexico, play a show with Paramore in Mexico City, which is awesome.
Have you played with them yet?
No, never. So that'll be a first. That'll be really exciting. And then after that, we pretty much go straight to the U.K. I think we rehearsed there for a little bit, and then we hop on to our Europe and U.K. tour, and we'll be gone till like December, and then got most of December and January off. Gonna do some writing and creating of any sort, whatever we want to do, and then we've got some stuff coming up later in the year that we can't really say yet. But
you have stuff coming up this month. You're not gonna tell me about.
I know. I can't. That's not my doing.
But I'm just gonna tell the listeners that Halloween weekend there's nothing on the Paris tour schedule. On Halloween, that's a fact. That is not giving anything away.
Yeah, but there is something.
Something's going on.
Something. For some year on Halloween, I really hope we play a show. I want to do two things. I want the three of us to dress up as the Sanderson sisters. Like, the boys wear dresses and everything. Mm-hmm. And then there's another year. I hope we can do this again. I really want to get really good prosthetic makeup done and look like old people.
Okay.
And just like go up and go on stage as a bunch of old people and not say anything. And like don't comment on it whatsoever and just.
Not even do it in Halloween, do it in like April.
Yeah, I kind of want to do it like whenever we can. Just do it really just on a random day and just don't say anything about it. Don't even acknowledge it and just kind of perform as some old geezers.
Yeah, a band's dressing up for Halloween shows in costume is an awesome thing, though. I can remember that a long time going to shows. It's something to take advantage of.
Have you been to anywhere where you're like, that's amazing?
The one that sticks out in my mind was Under Oath at Starland. I think it was Starland Ballroom in New Jersey. They came out dressed as Slipknot.
A lot of bands do that. That's pretty iconic to be a band that other bands dress up as. Like, that's pretty awesome. Them and like Kiss.
Yeah, basically be Kiss or be a new metal band.
Yeah.
Be the Misfits.
Or like I feel like there could be so many creative group costumes. Like, somebody could do the Mystery Gang. What else? Charlie Brown.
Yeah, like Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm. What are some other? Oh, School of Rock. You could do School
totally,
of Rock.
Yeah.
What else? There's a lot.
Totally.
Sanderson Sisters are number one, though.
Yeah, we got some ideas here. The wheels are turning for sure.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah, so towards the end of, like, your last tour, you were really open about being stressed and having a hard time with dealing with all the good things that you were that were coming to you and just sort of sitting back and enjoying them as good things. So I was wondering, like, how have you been dealing with that this tour?
You know, I'll be straight up. It's still a work in progress. Like, it's been amazing. The shows have been amazing. I'm definitely just still trying to manage the stress factor and, like, the, I guess, I never used to get this. I never used to get stage fright or nervous before playing, and like this has been something that's kind of popped up ever since we kind of came back. So that's been a new developing thing I've kind of been working through.
Well, you guys are an awesome live band, so just don't think about that.
Well, thank you.
Knock it back down.
Yeah, it's weird because it like messes with a lot of stuff vocally. Like if you're in like a weird mental spot or if you're anxious or stressed, it can like really actually physically affect you. So that's been like the current work in progress, but it's being worked through, and I don't know. We'll get it.
Yeah, well, I feel like if you were like a band that had all sorts of crazy vocal distortions, like if you were Korn or Slipknot, then you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Well, I mean, we might start doing that. I don't know. But yeah, but like aside from that, honestly, the shows have been so, so amazing, and everybody coming out has been like pretty crazy, and it's really cool to see how our audience has kind of grown over the past few years. They're really diverse in age and like everything. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you tweet every so often, like retweet someone who's like, I want to go see Paris, but I don't have anyone to go with.
Yeah.
So why is that really important for you guys? Kind of like a buddy system.
Yeah, I mean, like for me personally, going to shows, that was the coolest part, is just getting your friends together to go to a show and like making friends at the show. I feel like you meet pretty like-minded people, especially in music. So it's cool to kind of be able to kind of like help curate that for people, or just like put that out there for other people. That we've met so many like groups of friends. And then like so many couples that are like, oh, we met at your show, or like, we're all best friends now, or we're engaged now. Like it's pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah. And just for like communities of young queer people, it seems like having a place for them to go and just be around other people like them,
yeah,
with a common interest of just like, oh, we like Paris too.
Yeah.
It seems like that's just such an important thing for the kids who go to your shows.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just really like creating that safe space and opportunity for people to kind of mingle. And
yeah,
just be like, yo, we're pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were younger, were there any bands who kind of had that? Or do you think it's more of just like a new thing that's popping up a lot more now? Like, I guess Tegan and Sarah could have been like that back then.
Yeah. I think like around that age, though, I wasn't like, I didn't go to a lot of a lot of bigger shows. I went to a lot of like local shows, especially in high school. So I don't really know. I wasn't really around to notice that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Shout out to Tegan and Sarah, though. You want to give a little, shout out to the song on the compilation?
Shout it out.
you covered RU 10 years ago the con times 10, 10-year anniversary, all different artists covering the album top to bottom. So tell the people about what it was like putting that together.
Yeah,
Shout it out.
It was really fun. I've actually never met Tegan and Sarah, but I've been in talks with them just from we did that Nylon interview together.
Yeah.
And we have a mutual friend who's she set up us just getting talking and introducing our band to them. They contacted me about doing that, and I was really, really stoked. And I don't know, I was stoked that they picked that song in particular, just because it's a really kind of dark and brooding and kind of chaotic and anxious sounding song. So it was cool to be able to kind of strip that away a little bit and just make it a little bit more straightforward, a little bit more pop driven. It was fun. I got to do a little bit of the production on it and kind of co-produce it with our engineer who did the record with us. And we just I kind of did a little bit of a Logic demo like a month beforehand, and then eventually got to LA and he and I just kind of zoned in for a day on it and busted it out. And super, super quick, but really fun and collaborative kind of jam.
Yeah, you were telling me for Billboard's piece on the Tegan and Sarah compilation, which you can read now in Billboard's issue or read on billboard.com. You were telling me that you kind of took on more of the responsibilities of production and whatnot for the song. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, with this past record, I did a lot of the programming and kind of co-produced with it, I guess. It's I don't know how to explain it because it's such, I don't know. Everything is kind of coming from my Logic demos and all the stems from that. But it was really cool with this one because I just got to pretty much make it all and then bring it into another session with Anthony, and we just got to track guitar and vocals for it. But for the most part, it was most of my production, most of the sounds and stuff like that. So it was cool to finally be able to have the opportunity and not as much pressure of a full length record to be able to just kind of test it out and see where it would go with that. So it's definitely something I want to do more in the future and really hone in on and be able to do more. So
Logic is your jam?
Logic is my jam, yeah. Logic and any kind of sound, Sound Toys or Waves plugins, Zebra, all that kind of stuff. So
word, because I don't really know anything about this stuff myself, but I feel like a lot of people listening are curious about this kind of behind the scenes stuff of how musicians go about making their own music.
Yeah. I always just really start with I'll pull up some kind of synth patch and just vibe out on a chord progression or anything. It's like it always starts kind of different. It can be a melody idea or just a beat, and then it's really just building around that. But usually if I'm working on a demo, I really try and get it to to some degree what I want the production vibe to be, and just something where you can listen and be okay, this is the direction, this is the kind of energy, and just something to be able to build from that. Even when we do the record, say if we're in the studio with Blake, if we're starting something from scratch, we'll usually kind of write as we record and record as you write. And it's really just I don't know, you're kind of just constantly shaping the sound instead of, I think, not every band, but I think a lot of classic rock, but typical rock bands kind of drums, bass, guitar, vocals, and then it's done. And ours, it's kind of all over the place and really just let's work on this sound today, let's work on this. And really kind of just, like I said, just having the vibe from the get-go and just building around that and having like a rough studio bounce be like close to what the actual final song would be, I guess.
Like the modern production version of that classic rock way of writing.
Kind of, I guess. I don't know. It's all over the place.
Neither of us were alive then. I don't even know what I'm talking yeah. about.
Or like not even classic rock, but I just mean like
the rock band way.
Yeah, yeah. Because we before we'd recorded with Blake, we recorded a couple EPs that some has been heard and some hasn't, and that was just like the system. It was like going drums, bass, guitar, vocals, and then you're done and you're out. Whereas this, it's so scattered and kind of all over the place, which I think brings a really cool energy to it, though, because you're not like compartmentalizing your creativity. You're kind of just like going in the moment with whatever feels good.
Yeah, it sounds like it maybe starts a lot of times with the refrain or a chorus. Like for Heaven, would it have been like the You Took My Heaven Away part?
It wasn't. It was, I had started like, I didn't even know if I wanted to make it a song. I just started this demo on Logic, and it was really like kind of soundscapey and ethereal. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to be a song or like where the vocals would even go with this. I don't remember writing that, honestly. Or like as far as like vocals and the chorus hook and stuff like that. Like I actually don't remember when that came up.
Yeah, I can see that, because there's definitely very atmospheric and quieter parts and the build up to that song, and like that really like pleasant part of the outro with like the plucking strings.
Mm-hmm, the harp and everything. Yeah. That was one of my favorite things
about it. It's a nice outro.
Yeah, we had this harpist. Would that be the proper?
I think so.
A harpist. Harper or a harp wouldn't player, be it. I don't know. Not a harper.
Harpsichord? Harpsichorder?
A harpist came in for like 2 days and was just kind of like, we let her just vibe over everything. And it was really, really cool. It was just like harp with like reverb and delay the entire 2 days. So I was just like pulling up old like paintings and like turn of the century photographs.
Oh, totally.
And, like, just diving into that vibe. It was really fun.
You get really lost in that, and all of a sudden there's like a background harp on 8 of the 10 songs.
Yeah, totally. We got a little carried away, but I love it. Those are like my favorite sections on the record, is whenever it's just the harp soloed out.
Yo, do you have any music videos coming up? Wow, so many things that are
yes and no. Like, we actually, can I talk about Winter? So we shot a video for Winter, and we had it edited and ready to go, and then we shot Anyone Else like a week or two afterwards, and Anyone Else just came out so much cooler than Winter did. So now like we're kind of like not happy with Winter fully to put it out, so that's like
it's in limbo
right now. Yeah, it was just the circumstances with making that video and making the Anyone Else video were very different, and it just wasn't up to par with like where we wanted it to go. Still a really cool video, but we just don't feel ready kind of putting it out yet, so that's gonna be possibly something down the line if we get a little more footage for it. I think it needs a couple more elements brought to it, but
well, you're gonna be traveling a lot. You said Mexico, all around Europe, plenty of opportunities to be in new settings, maybe some new music video footage.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like I said, we have most of December and January off, and part of that may be spent going over there to film some stuff, so that's all I'm gonna say.
Some mysteries, some loose ends.
Some mystery.
Yeah,
there's loose ends on my end too, like all of our ends. Like
some things no one knows about.
Yeah, some things we know nothing about either.
So we talked about the tour, about videos, about all sorts of new stuff, about Halloween. Is there anything else you want to tell the fans? Touch on Paris things coming up.
I don't know. Come hang out on our tour. Say hey. I don't know. The production is really cool for this tour. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, let's not spoil any of that.
Sweet brag.
I only spoiled one, like, 15th of the set list. So I think production, so many more songs, two albums out there. There's a lot to be excited for.
Yes.
It's a good lineup, too.
Yeah, amazing. We had this artist, Party Nails, on the first half. She was opening. She just hopped off 2 days ago. We're very, very bummed that she's gone. But we just had Flynn Eastwood hop on, and she's incredible. Like, a fucking performer. Like, really, really, really cool vibe. She's super raw and just real. It's awesome. And then Lights is Lights. Like, I don't know. You know.
Lights is
you
Lights.
You know Lights.
I know Lights.
Lights is incredible.
She's another past podcast guest who will be on a repeat podcast. So
yeah,
look out for that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's it. Is there anything else?
One last glance looking across over, the room. Looking what over can to we management, say? Like, what are we allowed we have to anything? Say?
I think.
If we keep talking, we're just going to give stuff away. So I guess we should probably wrap up.
I know. I shouldn't have said anything on the music video thing. Because now people are going to be waiting for it. And we might never actually put it out.
Yo, any fans you want? I know you got lots of fans, and probably you should single some out. Give a shout out to like some fans.
Oh my
some
goodness.
People. Who are just gonna be like so amped when they listen to this.
Oh, and... okay. Oh my gosh.
I know. Amy Petit Pony.
Amy Petit Pony. Yeah, she's amazing. No, there's I'm gonna single him out by his Twitter handle.
Okay.
It's Mad Airport Baby.
Mad Airport Baby.
Yes. And he's amazing. So I tweeted maybe like 2 years ago or something, like within the span of a week, like something about babies at airport screaming and being really upset. And I was like, I feel you. And this kid made a Twitter account with like, it's like the icon's like a baby with like devil horns on, and he's always just tweeting like super rude stuff at me, but it's amazing. It's like really, hold on, I need to read some of it because it's so good.
Yeah, shout out the handle, shout out his greatest mad tweets.
It's either Mad Airport Baby or Angry. I think it's Mad Airport Baby. So like this is 2 days ago, tweeted it. I got my own fucking tablet now to play educational games. You can't fuck with me if you wanted to. And then the one before that, was terrible twos are in, bitch. I'm an angry toddler now, throwing tantrums in every department store in all caps. And then this was like in April, they tweeted, y'all, I start preschool next year, oh my god. And then like it's great. I don't know. I think it's really funny.
Yeah, he's got a persona, and it sounds like it's growing up. It's so he's got some place he could take this.
Yeah. There was one that was like petition to kick Lindsay out of Paris. Oh, retweet to kick Lindsay out of Paris. It's amazing. I love him. And it was awesome. When we were in Orlando, we set up like a little Skype call with his school's I think they call like there they call it GSA or SGA, just like Gay Straight Alliance.
Okay.
And got to like chat with his whole class. It was really cool.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, and then they came out to our show and like just all hung out afterwards. It was really, really sweet. So
now he's immortal. We got
a place
him.
In my heart for
there
sure.
There we go.
Mad Airport Baby.
Thank you so much to Lynn for coming by. Pleasure as always. All We Know of Heaven, All We Need of Hell is the name of their sophomore LP. It's out now on Rise Records. You heard it all throughout the show. So what's next? Coming up on this podcast, it's a weekly Billboard podcast, comes out every Thursday. Have an interview with Lights coming, which I recorded just around the same time as I recorded the Lynn interview, and they were coming through on the Paris tour through New York City. So an interview with Lights is coming up. Interview with the Front Bottoms on a future episode. That interview has already taken place. It's in the can. We're working on it. It's coming in a future week. And an interview with Weaves, another one that's already been done, coming up in a future week on the Alternative Facts podcast. So all sorts of exciting stuff in store. To make sure you get every podcast each and every week, you can subscribe. Go to iTunes or search for hashtag Alternative Facts just in the podcast app on your phone. Hit the subscribe button. And while you're there, leave us a star rating. It's always super helpful to get that from you guys and to hear specifically what you guys think about the show. So with your rating, drop in a little line about what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of on the show. And also you can find me on Twitter at @CPaintOnAPlane. That's my handle. I'm always dropping in little hints about artists who are coming on, things that are in my world coming up. So give me a follow there. Stay in touch. Say what's up. Another good place is just shout out feedback at me if iTunes isn't so much your thing. And that's really all I have for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, happy Halloween. Actually, next week will be one day before Halloween, so I get to wish you happy Halloween one more time. But until then, have a good week, guys, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.